We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, live from the ESPN West Palm Studios. Here's Mike Rizzo.
First place. Oh, does it feel good? Welcome on in, folks. Episode number 5 of Pink Smoke. Mike Rizzo here, taking you all the way until 7 o'clock. We got our good buddy Damian Perez with us as well, hitting the ones and twos and co-hosting with me on episode 5 of A Little Pink Smoke. How about Lionel Messi, Damian Perez? What a goal he had against Atlanta United. And to catch you guys up on what's been going on with the team. You had I call it the battle for first place because the Philadelphia Union stubbed their toe. We'll find out a little later on in the show when we go around the MLS presented by our good friends at Audi. But the Union stubbed their toe this past weekend, and Inter Miami was able to take advantage of this and win in dramatic fashion at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 2-1 against Emmanuel Latilath and Atlanta United. And Damian, that is a stadium, an arena, whatever you want to call it. They don't win at very often.
They actually haven't. For the first time, they won this past Sunday. First time the Inter Miami wins in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz. Before that, like you said, very tough opponent. And actually the opponent that knocked us out of the playoffs. So it was extra sweet to beat them on Sunday.
A rivalry in soccer is usually called a derby, whatever you want to call it. Not necessarily a derby that happened over the weekend, but two teams that don't like each other. And Atlanta United, in that transfer window with the MLS, they spent $40 million on the roster. They brought back Miguel Almiron. Almiron was playing for Newcastle for 4 or 5 years. It was a pretty big signing at the time when Miguel Almiron left the MLS and went to the Premier League, but he is back after a stint overseas and playing pretty good soccer for the Newcastle and the Toon Army. But Almiron had a couple of nice passes in the game. But the story of the game was Inter Miami's resilience, specifically at the end of the game and the peppering that they put on Atlanta United in the second half. I mean, Damian, that was truly end-to-end stuff in the second half. It just didn't have any goals. Both teams got chances on goal. Now, how about Rocco Rios Novo, too, in his first start?
Oh, my God. I thought what he played. Save.
And the play Damian Perez is talking about, we'll get to it in a little bit, but there was a cracker of a shot from about 30, 35 yards out for Atlanta United. And at the time, listening to the great Ken LaVica on the Inter Miami English Radio Network on ESPN 106.3 and watching on the television on Apple TV, it looked like that it just went straight off the woodwork and off the bar. But as we saw the replay, Rocco Rios Novo was able to get a fingertip on it, change the trajectory of the shot just slightly, and was able to keep it out of the goal. And then for Inter Miami, I mean, Lionel Messi could have had 3 or 4 goals in this game.
Yeah, and to touch one more a little bit more on that shot, Muyumbo just got such a clean strike. It was one of those shots where you didn't even notice that Novo got a touch on it. It looked like it went straight off the post. But as you said, they enhanced it, they zoomed in, they slowed it down. You saw that Novo got a very important touch because that was sailing top bins.
It was.
Yeah, welcome back, Messi, man. What a goal he scored. What a game in general that he had. And the goal he scored, actually, it reminded me of a goal he scored. It was a while back, a good amount of years ago for the Champions League big stage against Bayern Munich. Very similar to that goal. But, man, welcome back, Messi. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, and, you know, it's to a fault that I play a lot of video games sometimes, but EAFC, a.k.a. FIFA, that's what they call FIFA now, folks. That's chip shot PlayStation
Plus. L1 circle if you're playing PlayStation.
That is chip shot playstyle plus gold, may I add, by Lionel Messi. Now, there is some, I don't want to say disheartening news with Messi. He's got an injury, and he's not going to be playing for Argentina
discomfort,
over the weekend.
Discomfort. Yeah, yeah. Quote-unquote discomfort.
The ESPN headline, Messi out for Argentina after MRI reveals injury. I, you know, I think it's good for Inter Miami. I understand that the South, and Damian, you're South American. You could speak a lot better on this than I can. But I understand that there's a tremendous amount of pride to play for one's nation, specifically with the South American players. I'm sure Messi's gutted he can't play. But if I could put on my Inter Miami Homer glasses for a little bit, dare I say, best case scenario to let him sit out and relax for a week and a half until we get him back on the roster, Damian.
Yeah, and ultimately, if we're looking at it from an Argentina perspective, yes, like you said, these games are very important. There's a lot of pride in playing for your national team. But Argentina is virtually qualified for the World Cup. They're first place with 5 points in advantage, and you really just got to be between those, I think it's top six. Yeah, top six.
Yep.
To qualify. And they're first place, 25 points, 5 points away from second place. So that game, yes, it's against Uruguay. Yes, it's against Brazil, which I'm very happy being a Uruguay fan that Messi won't be on the field. But those games aren't important. And if there is an injury, like you said, it's very important Messi at this age gets the proper rest, gets the proper recovery, because the season just started and there's a lot of tournaments, a lot of games.
Certainly. And with a player like Lionel Messi's caliber, even at his age, Damian, obviously I think it's going to be a hit for Argentina. But thank you for the update that, you know, they're already in. So if anything, this gives an opportunity to a young player, a young Argentinian,
great point,
to get a cap and to get some game experience under their belt for the national team.
Simeone's son is actually going to get called up, and it's rumored that he's going to get the start. So to your point, new blood, you're going to get a new look at a new system too, because obviously when Messi's on the field, you know, the system kind of changes for better. So you're going to get an opportunity to see the team in a new light, and like you said, get some new blood in there.
Now, Damian, I mentioned that our Inter Miami Herons are in first place in that Eastern Conference with that win over Atlanta United. Philadelphia Union stubbing their foot in a loss
at home
over the weekend, and the Columbus Crew, too, they drew their game. The Crew, if they would have won their game after the Philadelphia Union loss, they would have had a share in first place as well. We have a lot of fixtures coming up in the MLS, so obviously if Philadelphia wins and then Columbus wins, they're going to get a leg up, but at the same time, Inter-Miami has the point favorite now, so the next time Inter-Miami plays, they'd be able to jump one of those teams. So some interesting stuff surrounding our Herons after that big win against Atlanta United. Damian, let's go through the highlights from the Atlanta game, because this was, as I said, end-to-end stuff in the second half, littered with a bunch of great plays and great highlights throughout the entire match. And I'm going to take you right from the start. It was actually Atlanta United that struck first with Emmanuel Latti-Lath. And Damian Perez, you and I both agreed that Emmanuel Latti-Lath, I mean,
dangerous. That's the word.
I'm ready to say it. He's probably one of the better strikers we're going to see in the MLS this year.
Yeah, I mean, he was the record signing of the MLS for a reason. $22.5 million. And we saw that at full display on Sunday. He was very dangerous. He got that clean header goal early in the game. And he actually had a second goal, but thank the Lord it was offsides. But very dangerous player, and he's going to have a lot of success in the MLS.
$40 million, to Damian's point, Atlanta United spent in that transfer window a lot of it on the prized striker from Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough, by the way, a championship-level team in England. The championship is a step lower than the Premier League. So a lot of talent there in that league, and certainly one of the better strikers, Emmanuel Latti-Lath, opening up the scoring, Damian Perez, for Atlanta United in this game.
Midfield, right side of the area, popped into the air, and the scoring drought is over. It is a goal for Atlanta United on a cross from the right side of the box. Emmanuel Latti-Lath heads it into the left side of goal, beating Rocco Rios Novo, and it is the first opening 15 goal conceded by Inter Miami's defense in 2025. 1-0, Atlanta United.
That's why I love Ken so much on the broadcast, having those little tidbits for us. I mean, Inter-Miami not giving up goals in halves. Atlanta United struggling to score in first halves. But Emmanuel Latti-Lath getting him on the score sheet. And Damian, we were, opening up the curtain a little bit. Damian produces the Spanish side. I produce the English side. I ran in there when the goal got scored, and I started getting on Maxi Falcone's case a little bit. I thought he got beat. He got beat. He lost his defender. And I understand Latti-Lath is a handful. And this isn't me saying, oh, you can't play Falcone anymore. But I think it's a learning experience. I think it's a learning experience for Falcone. When you have a striker of the caliber of Latti-Lath, you got to mark him at all times. And he just simply lost him at the back post, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Falcone has been an extraordinary signing. He's been very solid. He's brought a lot of attitude to the team. But To your point, I think if we saw a weakness, it was the game in the air against a very physical striker like Latte. And I mean, if we're going to have these issues, it's best to have it in a win early on in the season so that they can be addressed.
Totally. And thank goodness that this next one was ruled offsides, because Emmanuel Latte almost had a carbon copy. Damien, it was almost carbon copy.
Looked like the replay.
Literally. Almost carbon copy. Same goal for the striker. Let's take a listen to Emmanuel Latte's would have been goal, but the flag was up.
Outside the area, about 30 yards out. Pushes it on to Moyemba. On the right foot of Lennon. Lennon! He has picked out Emmanuel Latte again on a perfect ball to the back post. Latte streaking in unmarked again. And he heads it past Rios Novo. And the flag is up. Inter-Miami gets a break. It's an offside.
Very tight, but it was offside.
And very needed, because we would have gone down 2-0 on that goal, which would have been a completely different story.
What's my famous saying? Or it's not mine, but...
You're right. 2-0 is the hardest score to maintain.
It is.
It's probably the most psychologically bending score to have in favor. But nonetheless, you never want to go 2-0.
And another thing, Damien, goals change games. I mean, if that stands, who knows if this goal for Inter-Miami happens. And the reason I say that, Damien, this goal happened 60 seconds, 80 seconds after the Latte flag was up. So putting everything in chronological order... Latte scores the first goal, and then the second goal would have came about 4.5, 5 minutes after the first one, and then Inter-Miami gets on the board, Damien, about 1.5 minutes after this. Let's take a listen to Ken Lavica's call, and Inter-Miami and Lionel Messi getting in on a chip shot goal off of a turnover from Atlanta United.
Was half a leg length from being 2-0. Now Inter-Miami on the move. Allende, good low cross. Guzan had to dive to tip it away in the box. And Atlanta United's able to send it away from trouble, from danger. But now a steal. Messi, left foot, in on Guzan. Tips it up and over. It's a goal! Lionel Messi has scored. Andronas level 1-1. The steal for Messi and the world-class finish over Guzan. This match a complete 180. Inter-Miami thought it was down 2-0 in the opening 20 minutes, and instead Lionel Messi with a bit of mastery.
Ken, by the way, that's a great Ken Lavica, or the voice of Inter-Miami soccer. Ken is still describing to the audience what happened on the other end with the Latte goal being offsides, and then that happened.
Yeah, he actually started the call of that goal, mentioning that we just got lucky on an offsides goal by Latte. But I mean, the thing that I liked the most of this goal was obviously the finish was otherworldly, which we're kind of used to that from Messi
big
by now.
Time. But he deked the guy in front of him. He swerved a diving tackler.
Yeah.
I don't know how to go back and watch the goal.
Even,
that's the best way.
Even
I can.
One step before that, the pressure that he put on, we're talking about a 37-year-old striker. He put on the pressure. He pressured the defensive mid, stole the ball and went in on goal. Yeah.
But
you know, that's a great sign.
The specific play I was talking about before the chip shot.
The cut in.
He went left foot. It looked like it was going to be a ball roll, but it was as simple as just anticipating where the defender was going, swerving the defender, one-on-one with the diving keeper, chip shot right over him. I mean, truly only stuff Messi can do.
It's
agreed?
Those body feints. The body feints combined with the cuts, like it'll send you one way, and he's cutting the completely other way, so... It'll have you like they say, leaving the scene, kind of sliding off of the frame. That's what we saw from the Atlanta defender.
I want to give a nice shout out to Rocco Rios Novo. We already talked about him on the program, but Damien, he had his first ever career save. He had his first ever career save in this game. We'll hear the one where he gets off of the bar later on, but let's hear Rocco Rios Novo, who started for Oscar Ustari, the veteran keeper who usually starts for Inter-Miami, picked up a red card in the game in week 3 of the MLS season against Charlotte FC. Let's take a listen to Rocco Rios Novo's first ever career save.
The ball, Marancia. Oh, a blast, and there's the first career save for Rocco Rios Novo. Standing in front of goal, didn't have to move much, but it did have a lot of pace from 35 yards, and Rios Novo able to slice it down to the turf and catch it on a hop. So that is the second shot on goal for Atlanta United. The first was Latte finding the back of the net. and Rocco Rios Novo, his first career save, and it comes in the 44th minute. Congratulations to that young man at 22 years of age.
Are you surprised that he started over Callender? I kind of am, man.
I was kind of going there because Callender was, he was called up for this game. He was actually on the bench. So I would be, of course, I'm very surprised because I thought Callender was, he was very good last year. And coming into this season, there was a lot of expectations on Callender. And I understand he got injured, but he's been at practice for the past, what, it's been like two weeks now. So it's very, it's a very weird situation. And there hasn't been much clarity about it.
Damien, he was the, call for it is, the every game keeper for Inter-Miami last year and the old manager. And then Javier Mascherano comes in and he, you know, he brings in his guys. And listen, I don't blame the gaffer for that.
No, and
I don't blame, I don't.
The results have been there as well.
I mean, you've won, you've what, five games in a row now, Damien? It's five games in a row. Okay, you're 6-1-0 on the year. You haven't lost at all. So currently, you know, Javier Mascherano currently is pushing all the right buttons. And if you don't like him, you don't like him. If you got your own guys, you got your own guys. This is why they brought him in, to play his style of soccer, football, as they say. I like it. I like it a lot, but was a little interesting to maybe not see him. Sorry. I mean, young keeper, too. Young keeper. We just mentioned it was his first ever career save. So let's listen to the last highlights of the first half. So first off, we're going to start with the free kick, the scuffle, Damien. Sergio Busquets, this is right before the half, by the way. A free kick was awarded to Inter Miami right outside of the box, and there was a bit of a scuffle that Sergio Busquets got in, a little Luis Suarez action. You know how Suarez likes to get in on the action sometimes. Let's listen to Sergio Busquets earning a free kick right outside the box and a big chance for Messi before the half.
This is a good ball in the box. He was bouncing around for a moment, and then Busquets got tripped up in the penalty D, and it's going to be a free kick for Inter Miami. Direct free kick. And now there's pushing and shoving, disagreements, and players coming together. Jordi Alba getting into it with Bartosz Sliszcz.
These teams don't like each other, Damien.
Nope.
They don't like each other.
Nope, and that rivalry was kind of, it was an organic rivalry that was built, because you usually have the rivalries that are, you know, in-state, like, for example, the one against Orlando City, but this one against Atlanta, it's kind of been brewing with time to come, especially after that playoff loss against them. But, yeah, I mean, we saw it in full display on Sunday. These teams do not like each other, and I can't wait to see them again here at the Chase Stadium.
Me too, and I was about to say, like, I cannot wait for that team to come on south to Fort Lauderdale and Chase Stadium. Now, Damien, this next one is Messi's missed free kick in the 48th minute. It was the last play of the first half. I'm waiting, and spoiler alert, folks, Messi misses it. There was like three opportunities here for Messi to have a free kick goal. Damien, I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting. I need the Messi free kick goal outside of the box injected into my veins. I need that this year.
Yeah, it seems like whenever we get a free kick, like right on that
border of the box. And he's so close every time.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to be at Chase Stadium for the
first
one.
I hope so.
You'll be able to record it and everything.
I hope so. Or Damien, I have a wedding coming up here one of these weekends, so I'm going to be unavailable to be, you know, at the games and part of the radio network. I joked around with Ken. I said it's going to be when I'm at my buddy's wedding in Chicago. Let's take a listen, though. Last play of the first half. This is Lionel Messi missing the free kick in the 48th minute.
1-1 match. Closing stages, first half. There's the whistle. Messi approaches the free kick, puts his foot into it, and Guzan leaps and catches it right below the crossbar. And Messi is denied by Brad Guzan for the second time in the last 90 seconds. There wasn't a ton of room there for Messi to try and direct it to where he wanted it to go, and I think he mishit it a bit, and that is indeed the final kick.
And, I got to go here because Damien, I got to have this take because you know my fan affiliations for world soccer. Free kick, who are you taking, Ronaldo or Messi?
Messi. I don't even have to think about it. Messi. I mean,
When's
the last free kick Ronaldo has scored? I think there was this outlandish statistic where...
Listen, I understand. And I'm a Ronaldo guy, but I'm also a Messi guy. I could be both. Sue me, okay? I could be both. For those, I have a lot of my buddies who go, Riz, you can't be both. The hell I can't, okay?
No, you can. You can be both.
I love both of them.
You can respect both
of them. I love both of them. One of them played for my favorite club when I was growing up for Manchester United. So, like, take right now, like, right now, we'll probably take Messi. Ronaldo's in the Saudi league. But in their primes, who are you going with?
In their primes.
In their primes.
I'm still going Messi.
Man, dude.
I'm still going.
You can't say that, man.
What I will give Ronaldo credit for, I think his free kicks are more difficult to recreate. How about that?
Fair enough.
Because he kind of had that knuckleball, you know, the ball didn't have
power,
any spin.
But it had power.
Oh, it was very impressive. I mean, obviously, like I said, I don't think the average person can recreate Ronaldo's free kick, where Messi's obviously not the average person can recreate it, but it'll probably be, it's kind of that argument where it's a fastball, easy to hit kind of thing.
Yep.
Very similar to Ronaldo's free kicks. That technique from someone who even played soccer throughout high school and college.
He's being humble. Damien Perez, really good soccer player, played competitively in college.
That's one of the toughest skills. Those knuckleballs, yep, especially off a free kick. Like, I will give you that. His free kick is more attractive and it's harder to recreate.
Folks, we're going to keep going on with the highlights here. But if you want to listen to more talk like that, Damien Perez, we actually have a new football podcast on ESPN West Palm Play. It is called West Palm FC. Check it out on ESPN West Palm Play. We upload videos every Friday. We have our first video already uploaded. More conversations with that coming up in our podcast. But certainly Messi missing before the half. I mean, it's set up, Damien, end-to-end second half. And I want to get right into it. Damien, let's go listen to the highlight. Let's go to the 57th minute. Let's go to the 57th minute when Atlanta United goes off of bar. At the time, we didn't know that Inter Miami goalkeeper Rocco Rios Novo makes the save, but he makes the save. He gets a fingertip on it to able to change the trajectory and to force it off bar. Let's take a listen to Ken Lavica.
Job's not done yet, though, for Inter Miami, because the hosts are back out of Mayumba. A shot off the crossbar from 37 yards. Rios Novo was beaten, but it was kept out of goal. 59th minute, another cross. Falcone able to head it away at the edge of the six-yard box.
And as we mentioned, Rios Novo ended up making that save on the fingertip. Saved the game. I think it saved the game.
At the time,
it was still 1-1. I think that save right there changed the game.
And to not be a homer, I think that shot was it was a beautiful shot.
Right.
Very satisfying to watch. It was damn near perfect. I don't think the average goalkeeper could have reached that, but Novo just anticipated that perfectly. And like you said, you couldn't tell that he got a touch on that till they slowed it down and zoomed it in. So fair play to Novo. What a great start for the young goalkeeper for Inter Miami.
Yep, and obviously Rios Novo played for the Argentinian Olympic team that was over there in France.
Coached over
the summer, coached by our very own Javier Mascherano. So folks, you know, put two and two together. Oscar Ustari, a veteran goalkeeper. Mascherano brings him in.
Ustari actually won Olympics back in 2008.
Wow.
With Mascherano. So they also have that bond, I guess.
Yep, so there's that, and then Rios Novo, who Mascherano coached.
I guess
coached.
We can come to the conclusion that Callender is kind of going against the grain here.
Yeah.
He's going uphill battle.
But at the same time, with Ustari out, it's a good time to get back into the roster.
I mean, competition is always good.
And I'm not saying that Oscar is going to get, like, obviously Oscar was just serving a suspension, but nonetheless, you understand. Damien, let's go to two big chances for Inter Miami. Lionel Messi in the 54th. Right after the missed goal, or rather off-bar save by Rios Novo, Messi had a goal chance here that got saved.
Messi drags with his left foot. Messi lays it off Suarez, plays it back to Messi, turns, fires, and it was knocked up in the air by Guzan, and it's out of play. Oh, a swirling attempt from Lionel Messi, and it almost beat Guzan, who got a hand on it. It's cleared across the end line, and it's another Lionel Ryder Smith Ivy in front Rath corner. Oh, that was majestic. Suarez touched it onto Messi, brought it down with his right foot, spinning, twirling, struck it with his left foot, and Guzan had to make a quick twitch save with the right hand. Oh, my goodness. And now a left to right in swinging far side and near side corner for Inter Miami. High in the air. And it's headed away by Atlanta United.
So right there, Messi denied his second goal of the game. Now, folks, stay with me, because these next two, when I tell Damian Perez Messi could add four goals in this game, I truly mean it. Let's hear Messi's next chance when Guzan was truly on his head with an unreal save.
Turnover. Messi in the box. Left foot. Messi. And he had it saved by Guzan on a low shot to the near post. Oh, Lionel Messi charging hard towards the goal. And Guzan, I believe, got a foot on it on the near post. He blew right by Gregerson, did Messi, and it was a right foot of Guzan who kept it out of the back of the net. It was destined for goal. Guzan is standing on his head at this moment. Inter Miami is peppering his defense.
I love that term, on his head. Absolutely love it.
It was the perfect way to describe
guys
it.
Guys on his head. Yeah. I mean, my God. And folks, there are plenty of other chances, too. Like, we're not going to play, but Tadio Allende had a one-on-one. Like, truly, Guzan, the 40-year-old United States veteran who backed up Tim Howard for all of those years.
And last year, he was the it factor for Atlanta, because you can argue that Inter-Miami...
Club legend, yeah.
Inter-Miami was the better team in that playoff series, but the saves Guzan had last year in that playoff game, it was unbelievable. And I mean, we at 40 years old, to still be doing what he's doing... Guzan is probably going to go down as an all-time great American goalkeeper.
All right, a couple more here. Jordi Alba was off the woodwork as well. So in that second half, we had, who is it for Atlanta, Damian? Remind me again, the player for Atlanta, the defender who went off bar with the Rios Novo save, regardless.
Muyumbo.
Thank you. And now, this was probably 10 minutes after, Damian, Jordi Alba takes this off the volley. Very impressive, very high-level stuff. Let's listen to Jordi Alba go off the bar this time.
Here's Suarez, upper right of the box. Chips it to the opposite left side. Jordi Alba put it off the side of goal with a side-winding left-footed attempt. Where did that come from Jordi Alba? He almost planted it on Guzan. That was a violent strike, but it hit the side netting, left side of goal. Oh my goodness. Jordi Alba does not put his goal-scoring acumen on display all that often, especially with that type of power. But boy, if he's about a second later on that sidewinding attempt, it's the goal of the season in MLS.
To Ken's point, right off the volley, right out of the air, he almost went upper 90 on that, ended up hitting the woodwork. So, like, folks, I told you, end-to-end stuff without any goals. End-to-end stuff in that second half without any goals. And I'm teasing everybody. Let's hear Messi's miss in the 88th minute, Damian Perez. My God!
Turnover. Messi in the box. Jordi Alba, who won it through a defender. Suarez left to the box. Sends a pass. Messi left foot. And he sent a shot wide near post. It took a deflection. And it's going to be an Inter-Miami corner.
When are they going to get in,
knocking
Damian?
On the door the entire game. That's
goodness.
What that game looked like.
Riz, you've done enough teasing. Let's play Fafa Pico's winner at the death.
And this is sent to Pico. He has scored at a corner to the back post. Falling away. Pico, the super sub, put his forehead into it. And it beat Guzan to his right. Fafa Pico is the hero in the 89th minute. 2-1. Inter Miami. Incredible. Fafa Pico back from injury and back to form.
How about Fafa? That's my guy. You know that's my guy. Him and Tadio Allende, I looked at you before the year. I said those are my guys.
It wasn't even before the year. Last week.
My guy.
Last week you had said that Fafa Pico was the guy that was kind of flying under the radar that was going to have a big impact this season. And I mean, what an impact to have.
Very, very much so. And Damian, I loved that it was right when he got healthy. We'll later on in the show, we'll go through the Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, my Inter Miami injury report. But Fafa got injured. Let's rewind to that NYCFC game. He played like, 12 minutes?
Yeah.
He picked up a knock. He had to come out of the game. I believe Kramoski came on for him. One of the young ones came on for him. But it's really good. It's really good when a player is able to come off of injury like that, come off of a knock, and get that confidence, right? I mean, he's got to be very confident after checking in. And Damian, he checked in the 86th minute, 87th minute, and 3 minutes later, he's in the back of the net, and a full 3 points goes to Inter-Miami because of his efforts.
Yeah, and this is a guy that he's Miami. He's from Miami. He played for Fort Lauderdale Strikers. actually, Leo Vega, who does the play-by-play call on the Spanish side
of
the radio.
Love Leo.
He coached Fafa Pico.
Yep.
So he knows about Fafa. He's been beating the drum all year since the offseason. Fafa Pico is going to have a huge impact. He just gels perfectly with this team. And, I mean, not just Fafa Pico. The new signings in general, I mean, we got to give credit to the, I guess it's the scouting team.
Right.
Tadeo Allende, Fafa Pico. I mean, they single-handedly had one game.
And I'm going to throw Maxi Falcone in there. There are plenty of transfers that have made an immediate impact on Inter-Miami. Let's take a quick timeout, Damian, because when we come back, we're going to hit the Inter-Miami injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. We'll talk more about Fafa Pico, who was on that knock list, but now he is off. And we'll discuss a little bit more about the transfers that have been able to make a big impact because of some of those early on injuries. Folks, this is episode number 5 of Pink Smoke on ESPN 106.3. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, taking you all the way until 7 o'clock. Your Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath injury report up next on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke. Live from the ESPN West Palm Studios, here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on back, folks, to Pink Smoke, episode number 5. You just heard Damian Perez and myself, Mike Rizzo, react to the highlights from that 2-1 victory. Inter-Miami winners over Atlanta United in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and it was a heck of a time watching that game. And I can't say it enough, end-to-end stuff in that second half. It had everything but goals until that final minute when Fafa Pico played the hero. But now, folks, it's time to see who's injured, who picked up some knocks. You know, this is football. This is football, soccer. There are a ton of guys that are dealing with ailments all the time. It is time to hit the Inter-Miami Injury Report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Now it's time for the Inter-Miami Injury Report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it. One right back by Inter-Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
You heard our big voice, man. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, folks. They have been representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com to learn more. That is For Your Rights. Damian, I did not necessarily know this, but David Ruiz apparently picked up a knock.
Yeah, hamstring.
He's dealing with a hammy. I liked what I've seen out of him so far this year.
Yeah, he's been a player. He's been reliable just this season, last season. He's just a player that every time he comes in, the system doesn't have to change because he's in. He could just pick up right where the last player left off, and a player that we're going to depend on in this very long season. So hopefully he gets back sooner than later.
Now, this next one, Cello, as you and our good buddy Elias Bustamante call him at ESPN 760 AM Deportes, Cello, Marcelo Wigan, what's going on here? I know your hashtag, your hashtag Team Ian Frey.
Yeah,
Ian Frey, folks, has been the fullback, the right back, who has been filling in for Cello, Marcelo Wigan, for the last couple of games. This is another hamstring. It says late March. Maybe we'll see Wigan back on the field sooner than later.
Yeah, these hamstring injuries, they're tough, man. They're tough, and they're the kind of the injury that you have to let 100% heal. You can't come back when you're 80, 70% because you'll just re-aggravate it, and then you're out for an extra week. So
right.
This is the injury you got to take your time with. You can't come back till you feel 100%. And ultimately, once you are healthy from that hamstring, you got to get in game form.
And Damien, as a former soccer player, and you know you still play it, I guess former is the wrong word, as a soccer player who played at a high level, is it running for 90 straight minutes? Because I'm looking at the injury report, the Inter-Miami injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Ruiz, hamstring. Cello, hamstring. And the guy I'm about to get to, Robert Taylor, hamstring. Is it from running for 80 minutes the whole time? Is it the planting?
It's the change of pace. That's usually where you see when that player changes the pace from, you know, from a jog to a sprint. That's usually where you'll see that, like, that pull, I guess, or that pinch that you usually feel from a hamstring. But, I mean, it's really just something that you got to manage, you know, with all the games, all the minutes, especially with players like Messi, Suarez, who are up there 35-plus. You have to manage the minutes because hamstrings usually happen from discomfort that comes from excess in minutes. So once you feel like that warning or that stiffness or that tightness, it's up to the player and the team and the coaching staff to kind of identify it and kind of protect the player from themselves sometimes, you know?
I mentioned that obviously Marcelo Wigan has been out with injury, and that has really given the opportunity for Ian Frey. Now, Damian, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought Frey was like a center back. Now he's playing a little right back. Mascherano's lineups have been interesting, and a lot of it, like we said, has to do with injury. And red cards too, right? Toto Aviles picked up a red card against NYCFC. But you've seen Noah Allen, who historically has been a fullback. He stepped in and played center back at sometimes. Ian Frey, who I think I'm right on this. Ian Frey,
yep,
historically a center back. He's now playing out wide. Mascherano is really kind of dialing things up, trying to see what he's working with all these injuries right now.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Ian Frey did start his career as a center back. He's then transitioned to that right back role, and that was actually Tata Martino who introduced him to that right back role, and I think he's done it perfectly. Ian Frey, he's a player who not only defends well, he can go up on attack, he can score, you know, he's tall enough where he can win headers, so a player who's very dynamic. And yeah, it seems like the theme is versatility with a lot of these players, and to just have that, you know, as a benefit to be able to play Noah Allen at center back, left back, and Ian Frey at center back, right back, also Lujan's another one. Right back, center back.
You've seen Mascherano, I guess, like, and a lot of those guys, like Lujan, he got brought in the offseason. Like, a lot of these guys are guys that Mascherano has brought in, too. Like, yeah. Maxi Falcone, Lujan.
Handpicked.
He likes the versatility. He likes the versatility of his defenders because I explained this on the pregame show the other day, Damien. I finally, something in my brain clicked when I was live at Chase Stadium for their matchup against Charlotte FC. Dude, Jordi Alba. How Inter-Miami does it, Alba likes playing up the pitch, and it's smart because he is unbelievable at getting the ball in on crosses and passing the ball in to make chances. Inter-Miami runs three at the back more often than not.
Yeah, and
they run that three at the back more often than not and let Alba go forward.
That's where the holding mids become so important.
Right. Like Yannick Sergio Bright, Busquets.
Redondo, Yannick Bright. You know, those players are very important. They do things that you don't really see. If you're watching the game on TV, if you're on the pitch, if you're on the field, you realize the impact. But if you're off the field, you don't always see the impact that players like Busquets and Redondo have that give players like Jordi Alba, Ian Frey on the right, the liberty to just go up and down and know that someone will cover their defensive spot.
Folks, that was your injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. If you know somebody that's been injured, Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath have been representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. And once again, your Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath Inter-Miami injury report. David Ruiz dealing with a hamstring. Marcelo Wigent dealing with a hamstring. Robert Taylor dealing with a hamstring. And then something we learned a few days ago, Lionel Messi, they're calling it a muscle injury, Damian Perez.
I believe the exact quote was discomfort.
Discomfort. And on FOTMOB.
But apparently it's something he's been dealing with since the PSG days. So it's kind of concerning.
Okay. Yeah. So long at PSG 2 years ago, Damian. It was 2 years ago when he was playing with Neymar and Kylian Mbappe. So that was your injury report, as I said, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Folks, when we return, we'll go around the MLS presented by our good friends at Audi. But are you guys aware? Inter-Miami has a new player. They added somebody in the transfer window. We'll talk about that, too, when we return on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke. Live from the ESPN West Palm Studios, here's Mike Rizzo.
Our final segment of episode number 5 of Pink Smoke. We just went through your Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath Inter-Miami injury report. We caught you up on the game, the end-to-end brilliant game that was Inter-Miami and Atlanta United. Damian, before we go around the MLS presented by our good friends at Audi, I think that was a high, like, if you want to sell somebody to watch the MLS, I think you show them that game.
I mean,
I think you do. I think you show them that 2-1 victory.
To be completely honest, I'm not saying this because I've been following Inter-Miami for the last two seasons, but the MLS has grown on me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's something that the league has a lot. It's got parity, you know, as you see, Inter-Miami is the favorite, but they lost in the second round. So it's got parity. You know, you got the teams that are going to compete. And then it's got the rivalry games that are growing and that are building, that are fresh rivalries like the one we saw Inter Miami and Atlanta on Sunday. You know, that rivalry is pretty fresh. It's pretty new. And just things like that. It's the MLS is just upward trending at a very rapid pace. So it's I'm very excited for the, what's going to come this league this year.
Speaking of the MLS, Damian Perez, it is now time to go around the MLS for their good friends at Audi.
Now it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
You heard, folks, AudiOffers.com to learn more. But also, folks, that Q6 e-tron is something special. Something special. The road is calling. Embrace the thrill of the drive with the all-new, fully electric 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron. Featuring effortless power, serious acceleration, and advanced Audi technology. It's not just a new electric vehicle, folks. It's a new way to experience driving. The Q6 e-tron is a premium, mid-sized, all-electric SUV that boosts an EPA-estimated range of up to 321 miles, allowing you to get where you want to go in state-of-the-art fashion. The next chapter of Audi starts now, and folks, you hear me talk about it all the time. When you pull into Chase Stadium this year to watch our Inter Miami Herons, make a statement when you pull into that lot with the brand-new Q6 e-tron. Well, Damian, it is now time to go around the MLS and Philadelphia Union. They were at the top of the table heading into MLS match week 4, and they lose their game, which opened the door for our Inter Miami Herons. If they got victory, if they attained victory against Atlanta United, which they did, they would be in first place. So right now, your MLS table, our Inter Miami Herons in first place with 10 points, Philadelphia in second with 9, Columbus in third with 8. And the Union have been an interesting team this year, Damian. The Union have been scoring a lot of goals. Obviously, that loss hurts them, but I think they're going to be a team to watch in the MLS for our Inter Miami Herons, the Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprising loss. I mean, Cincinnati, granted, they're a good. Sorry,
yeah,
Nashville,
they're solid, but
it's a tough team. But the way Philadelphia started, you would have thought at home, this was a favorable game for them, especially being first in that Eastern Conference. You kind of want to keep that position up in the table. So very surprised by that result. I think that's probably the more surprising result of the fixture.
And Ty Baribo, I want to give him a shout-out for Philadelphia Union. Damian, 6 goals on the year for Ty Baribo. So, how many goals have we – I did goals. How many? We've played 4 games in the MLS. Guy's got 6 goals. You know, do the math. Baribo's certainly been the best striker in the league so far, and that is for Philadelphia Union. Are you buying the Crew this year? The Crew won the MLS playoffs 2 years ago. They're usually a team that has a lot of moxie and a lot of fight when it comes to this competition, and I think they're gearing up for another playoff run down there, or rather up there in Columbus.
I do. I think Columbus is one of the teams that up there with Philadelphia, up there with Nashville. They're going to be one of the main rivals of Inter Miami, and they're going to challenge that up the top 3 positions in the Eastern Conference.
Inter, Philadelphia, Columbus, and, you know, Charlotte, too. I'm expecting Charlotte will be up there. You know, Charlotte bounced
especially
back.
Especially after the Zaha signing, for sure.
Right, and Charlotte bounced back with a 2-0 win over Cincinnati. You mentioned that Philadelphia dropped that game to Nashville, where Charlotte was able to win 2-0. And I, you know, Damien, you originally said Cincinnati. I think they got a good squad. You were about to say you like Cincinnati's squad. They're a solid team.
I was going to say that.
They're a solid team.
That's another team that's they've kind of disappointed to start. They've had great signings, like you mentioned. I thought they were going to be one of the teams that were going to be up there in the fight for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. But they have kind of disappointed to start. And the last match was another disappointment against Charlotte. So very interesting to see how this team turns it around.
And Damien, you mentioned disappointing starts. Let's talk about probably the most disappointing start in the MLS, in my opinion, is Atlanta United. They spent $40 million in the transfer window.
Atlanta
Damien,
United.
They spent $40 million in the transfer window. They got they got 3 points to show for it.
There is a
4
team,
points, sorry.
There is a team that has even had a worse start than Atlanta United, but we'll get there. I agree. Atlanta, another team who
the Galaxy. You're Galaxy. Talking about the Galaxy.
Yes, I think that one just jumps off the page for me.
And folks, this is a perfect time to switch on over to the Western Conference. The big names you need to know in the East, at least in my opinion. Damien, I'm interested to see if you agree. Inter Miami, Philadelphia, Columbus, Charlotte, Atlanta, maybe DC, maybe New York Red Bull. I probably cut the line off there. Orlando, I I don't know. I think I cut the line off of after
I think
Atlanta.
The top four is clear. Okay. Inter Miami, Philadelphia, Columbus, and Charlotte. I think those, from what we've seen at the start of this season, those are the top four, clear, no doubt. And then you got teams like Cincinnati, Atlanta, who I think can turn it around and become one of those favorites as well. But those top four, I'm agreeing with you. I think those are the clear top four.
All right. Well, we got to head on over to the Western Conference. Now, Damian, we already pinpointed the most disappointing team within the MLS so far, and that is the defending playoff cup champions in the MLS, the LA Galaxy. But quickly, how about Vancouver? How about Vancouver?
And thank you to Vancouver for also knocking out Monterey in CONCACAF Champions.
Who was on that?
Yeah.
Who was on that? I was on that draw, baby. So opening up the curtain a little bit, that's the CONCACAF Champions Cup that Damian Perez and I are talking about. Monterrey, the huge, huge Mexican side. They play in Liga
MX. They were probably
MX.
The favorites to win it all.
I mean, they knocked out Inter-Miami last year. Yep. Let's call for what it is. Monterrey knocked out our Herons last year in the competition. But I remember, we were doing our podcast a couple of weeks back. I mentioned Vancouver, and everyone's instant reaction was, they'll get smoked in Mexico.
Yeah.
They didn't get smoked in Mexico. They got the result. USA! USA! Canada! Canada! Vancouver's Canada.
MLS.
Yeah, how about that? How stupid am I? But Vancouver, not only in the round of eight in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, they also have 12 points out there. Perfect. They're the only perfect team within the MLS. Shout out to Vancouver,
and
man.
They're kind of flying under the radar because you don't hear about Vancouver the way you should after the start that they've had, not only in MLS, but CONCACAF Champions as well.
Absolutely. But, you know, those are the two teams I want to focus in on, Vancouver and the LA Galaxy. Damian, I mean, they got Marco Reus, the Galaxy. They have really good players. They have the kid, help me out, Puig, yeah. He used to be a Barcelona youth
He's
player.
He's coming back from injury, so he hasn't been available. But yes, that's another. But apart from Ricky Puig, I mean, they got Fagundes, Peck. You know, they've got players.
They got quality.
All over that roster. They shouldn't be at the bottom of the table for the, not just the Western Conference, I think the Supporters Shields, if I'm
correct.
Not mistaken.
And that's where I was going next. Dead last in the Supporters Shield.
Horrible
So Inter-Miami second on the Supporters Shield, and Vancouver, the Whitecaps. Hot as a stove. By the way, Fafa Pico's former team, ironically enough, the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Look at that.
So, but yeah, that is Around the MLS, folks, presented by our good friends at Audi, as we've already mentioned, folks. Get to your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more. Now, at the end of last segment, I teased a little bit about the new signing Inter-Miami had. This was a couple of days ago. This was March 10th, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Baltasar Rodriguez. He is a midfielder, an Argentinian midfielder, who's coming on over to Inter-Miami on loan for a $4 million fee, and he plays for the top flight in the Argentinian Football League, Racing Club de, and my Spanish speaker, Damian Perez, Avalanda.
Yeah, Racing, a very popular,
thank you.
Very popular
bail me
club,
out.
A very popular club in Argentina, and a player who was very reliable for this team. The team looked at him as one of the. He's a young player, but they looked at him as one of the leaders with a lot of maturity, not just off the field but on the field as well. And a player who's just going to add great depth to Inter Miami. Mm-hmm.
And Mascherano, obviously an Argentinian guy, one of the best Argentinian national players of all time. There are Argentinian players littered on the roster. Oscar Ustari, Rocco Rios Novo. Anyone you could really shake a stick at is probably Argentinian with Inter Miami, but it's a common theme right now. And Damian, something we talked about in the break, Baltasar, he kind of offers something a little different than the other midfielders do for Inter Miami. More bit of a playmaker. Now, Javier Mascherano has really gone with Telasco Segovia as the attacking mid, and then Sergio Busquets and Yannick Bright Frederico Redondo. Now, Redondo and Busquets, they're more of like your DMs. Now, I call Busquets more of a deep-lying playmaker that'll come up and pass. And Bright and Redondo kind of more of a box-to-box. regardless, more defensive than attacking. I'm interested to see if Javier Mascherano would put Segovia, Baltasar, and like Busquets in the same lineup, because Baltasar is going to be playing up, from my understanding. I'm interested to see how Javier Mascherano uses them, Damian.
Yeah, that would definitely be a more offensive lineup with Baltasar, Rodriguez, and Segovia. I think, like you mentioned, Yannick Bright, Sergio Busquets, Redondo, they have more of the defensive quality. Not saying Baltasar, Rodriguez doesn't, but I feel like Baltasar, Rodriguez has more of an attacking edge to him. And agreed, with Segovia, that would be more of an attacking, more of an ambitious lineup, especially considering how much our right backs like to attack. So interesting to see how he makes that all work. Yep. But who's the better guy to make it all work than El Jefecito Mascherano?
Yeah, and he really is. If anyone had any doubts about Mascherano with this gig, I'm interested to see if they're still out there. The gaffer has done a fantastic job. Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for us to go. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. Thank you to all of our great partners of Pink Smoke, Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, and our good friends at Audi. Folks, get to your local South Florida Audi dealers, and if you know anybody that has been injured, make sure you get to our guys, Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. We'll catch you guys later. Episode 5 in the books, episode 6 coming up next week. Enjoy the international break. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you later. Bye.